This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Despite months of worldwide protest and some of the biggest anti-war marches ever, a U.S.-led invasion of Iraq now appears inevitable. With war possible as soon as tonight, some anti-war groups plan candlelight vigils, others plan more marches this weekend. There could be student walkouts in high schools and colleges, demonstrations at the White House and other government buildings. Some plan to have themselves arrested in acts of civil disobedience. But others, including many who marched against the war, believe that the start of the conflict changes things. Protest could be seen as disloyal to the men and women of the armed forces who will soon be in combat fighting in their country's name. If you're opposed to the war, how do you make the distinction between opposing a president's policies and supporting the troops that will carry out those policies? Do we need to put our differences aside for the duration? If you're in favor of the war, is protest one of the basic rights those men and women are fighting for, or is it aid and comfort to the enemy? This hour, dissent during war. Our telephone number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. Our email address is totn@npr.org. Later in the program, we'll hear the arguments for and against the legality of this conflict. Who, in the end, decides international law? You can send email questions on those issues now, if you'd like. Again, the email address is totn@npr.org. But first, an update on one of the stories in the news today. This morning, the United Nations Security Council held a public meeting in New York City. The UN's chief weapons inspector, Hans Blix, presented a report. Several foreign ministers were also on hand. Joining us now from our bureau in New York is NPR's Vicky O'Hara, and good afternoon.
Hi, Neil.
2 days after the United States and Great Britain essentially gave up on diplomacy, perhaps hours before the war begins, how relevant is a meeting with Hans Blix?
Well, at least a couple of the participants in the meeting today thought it wasn't very relevant at all. But the fact of the matter is that the inspectors are required by existing UN resolutions to present a work program by March 27th that identifies remaining disarmament tasks in Iraq and a plan for completing them. And that was the original purpose of today's meeting, to hear their recommendations. Of course, all UN personnel, including weapons inspectors, were withdrawn from Iraq as of yesterday in the interest of their safety. So no one is going to be doing any inspecting in Iraq, at least for some time. But some of the other countries who were there for the meeting today used the session to talk about the fact that the weapons inspectors, in their view, had been making progress. They said that the weapons inspection should be continuing, and this was just no time to be going to war.
Laying out a program of continued inspections does seem to be moot at this particular time. But over the last week or so, the UN, Hans Blix, did receive reports from Iraq on VX and anthrax. Did he report breakthroughs on that? Has Iraq explained its weapons of mass destruction to his satisfaction?
Apparently not. Hans Blix, who is the chief UN inspector who handles chemical and biological issues, didn't go into the report or the remaining findings in any great detail. He did note that Iraq has turned over some more documents related to those issues, but he said that in terms of substance, they didn't provide a whole lot of new information.
Now, this meeting wasn't just about inspections. What were the other issues under discussion?
Well, countries that oppose military action at this point use the session to make that point again publicly and to question the legitimacy of a war outside of the United Nations. But everyone quickly moved on to the larger issue of what will happen to the people of Iraq in the event of war. The UN-run oil for food program has been suspended with the withdrawal of UN personnel from Iraq. That program, the UN officials say, is the only source of support for 60% of the Iraqi population. Secretary General Kofi Annan spoke this morning, and he said that he fears a huge humanitarian disaster. And he pointed out that the world community has not responded to this point with the kind of financial donations that are going to be required. Excuse me, Neil.
Sure.
Allergies. But Kofi Annan also went on to say that those who start a war or occupy another country militarily are responsible for the welfare of the population. In this case, that would be the U.S., Britain, and other countries that participate in any military action. But the Secretary General also said that the rest of the world is really going to need to help.
Well, have the United States and Britain weighed in yet with the Security Council on that issue of humanitarian aid, what they're going to supply and what they expect from the U.N.?
Yes, they have. Every council member who addressed the council today, that in fact all 15 did, talked about the humanitarian issue, including the ambassadors of the United States and Great Britain. The United States and Britain are putting forth, they say, another Security Council draft resolution, and it would basically call for changes in the oil for food program. That's the program that was put in place in the aftermath of the last Persian Gulf War, and it uses cash reserves from selling Iraq's oil to provide, you know, food and other humanitarian assistance. So this draft resolution they're coming up with is believed to propose that the cash reserves in that account be used for immediate humanitarian relief, both during and just after the war. The UN Secretary General will be asked to administer the program, which avoids the very politically sensitive situation of having the combatants, mainly the U.S. and Britain, in charge of the program.
Finally, Vicky, was there frustration amongst some members of the council that they had been essentially sidestepped by the United States and Britain on this question, the two permanent members who are sending troops to fight in Iraq? Is there questions about relevance?
Yes, quite a few of the council members talked about that issue today. As you know, the United States in the run-up to this point in the Iraq crisis had said repeatedly that if the Security Council failed to enforce its resolutions on Iraq, it would become irrelevant as an organization. But other council members today, one after another, got up to say that the United Nations is a very important organization. It's extremely relevant in world crises, you know, the AIDS crisis, humanitarian assistance. And a number of them also pointed out the fact that in the aftermath of any war anywhere in the world, it is almost always the United Nations that is the organization that comes in to pick up the pieces, and that will have to happen here as well.
Vicky O'Hara, thanks very much. And it's been a long winter in New York. Allergies at least means spring is arriving.
Oh, they'll get worse.
Thanks very much. NPR's Vicky O'Hara was with us from our bureau in New York.